As far as we at Backtime can figure, the expression, "Oh no, you didn't," was probably first uttered during these events, which happened on November 17th. We all live in 1904, the first underwater submarine journey was taken from Southampton, England to the Isle of Wight. In 1968, NBC cut away from the final minutes of the New York Jets-Oakland Raiders game to begin a TV special, Heidi, on schedule. The Raiders came from behind to beat the Jets 43-32. Too bad nobody saw it. And in 1973, U.S. President Richard Nixon told an Associated Press managing editors meeting in Orlando, Florida, people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. That's Back Time for November 17th. This is your announcer speaking.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
A bicycle-riding circus bear pedals back to his natural habitat. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Circus officials were stunned today after popular longtime Shrine Circus veteran Terrence the Bicycle Riding Bear abandoned his performance and pedaled back to a northern Montana forest. Wranglers ran after the bear with training sticks, giant hoops, and bear treats, but were unable to slow the Bruin as he rode into the wilderness he once called home. Eyewitness clown Ernest Brinkman.
Well, yeah, so he broke through the tent there, and he just, he's pedaling like hell, and, he ain't coming back.
The circus owners are offering half-price tickets to the families of any bystanders mauled to death by the bear. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Local TV Weatherman.
Mr. Local TV Weatherman.
In a world where some people get it right most of the time, and the rest get it right at least some of the time, you manage to get it right none of the time.
You're always wrong.
We love the way you cover your butt with generic forecasts like partly cloudy with periods of sun and a chance of showers.
It might rain or maybe not.
Wow. Thanks for the pinpoint accuracy, Mr. Local TV Weatherman. And by the way, the fact that it's 1 degree warmer three towns over has absolutely no bearing on my life whatsoever.
Nobody cares.
Thank you, Mr. Local TV Weatherman, for that fake smile, that fake hair, and that fake banter with the anchor person whose job you wish you had.
But you don't.
So open an unseasonably cool Bud Light and pour a partly sunny toast to Mr. Local TV Weatherman, a real American hero.
Mr. Local TV Weatherman.
And higher temperatures, St. Low Pressure Area, Missouri.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday.
November 17th.
Thank you. You jumped right in front of me there. How's it going, Susie?
Hey, it's going very well.
Yes.
Had a very very long, fun weekend.
I'm sure. I was waiting to hear all about it.
Oh, man.
So, well, first of all, your boyfriend came back, right?
Yes.
And how did that go?
He was supposed to come in Friday night, and then, I was getting ready to go pick him up, and he gives me a phone call, and he says, my plane was canceled.
Really?
So, yeah, I was totally bummed. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, I've been planning on coming to pick you up for months now. And here you are, like, staying in New York for an extra night. So I was a little bit bummed about that, but it ended up being fine. I went to Malibu and had a lobster dinner at my girlfriend Lena's house.
Oh, wow. A lobster dinner.
Yes.
You love lobster.
I really do. And she's such an amazing chef. So any opportunity to go and eat food that she cooks, I'm there in a heartbeat.
Awesome.
But actually, I wanted to tell you about that a little bit because after, we obviously got into the wine a little bit.
No.
No.
Not you.
Me? It was a dinner party. I had to, you know, I had to be social.
Right.
But so we got into the wine a little bit, and I ended up passing out at her house because I didn't want to drive all the way home.
Mm-hmm.
But I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Sam. My entire bedroom was full of smoke.
Wow.
And all kinds
of... The windows were open or
something? I kept the window open, mm-hmm. probably, you know, just about 3 inches or so.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, the wind storms were, like, blowing all of the wind and all of the debris into my bedroom.
Wow. Yeah. I know. We, for those who have been under a rock for the past couple of days, I mean, we've had, like, terrible fires out here in Southern California.
I don't even know where these fires are coming from. You know, I mean, but the...
I know. Well, it's not too far from here, actually. And part of, you know, I know people that have seen, like, a lot of ash mm-hmm. in the morning, you know. They got up in the morning Sunday, and everything was, like, full of ash, you know. Where we were, there's just, you know, a little bit of smoke and the smell of fire, but that's it, you know.
Yeah, I had actually left my windows open in my car a little bit, and my car was actually, the inside of it was covered in a little bit of ash as well when I went to get in the car the next morning.
Wow.
So I couldn't believe that. I was like, this really sucks.
So it went all inside your room, too?
It went all inside my room. It went all inside my car. I mean, it smelled like I was inside a campfire.
Yeah, fuck.
And so I was like, I was really nervous. I was like, if you smell it so intensely, you know, how close are these fires?
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, apparently they weren't too terribly close to me, and, you know,
yeah.
just a little smoke damage, but whatever, what can you do?
Yeah. So did you guys have a wild weekend?
Yes, actually. So, well, then I picked Franz up from the airport on Saturday morning, went back to my house, and...
Is that so?
Yes.
Okay, well, we got a phone call. Should we take it
real
quick?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Good morning. This is Sam and Susie, and you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom.
A long lost friend.
Hi, Mo. How are you?
Mo, where the hell have you been, Mo?
Because I had some technical problem with, you know, Skype trying to charge me. I guess I went over 10,000 minutes or something, you know.
Yeah, but you can call on your phone, on your regular phone, right?
Beg your pardon?
You can call from your regular phone. Why do you need Skype to call?
Oh, I see. No, I don't have a thing. That's why I am, you know, with massive unemployment. Citigroup is laying off 60,000 people today.
Yes.
By next few weeks or few months range. I mean, that's why I keep it to Skype. It's pretty good, but, you know...
Okay, all right. Well, never mind. Never mind about Skype. So how have you been? How are things in Oregon?
Oregon is same thing, same crap going on, toxic skies, chemtrails, and...
cloud seeding.
In Oregon as a result of it, you know, infection, pneumonia, and et cetera.
An infection?
And... the reason
he means from
I
the chemtrails.
Oh no!
Yeah.
You are right now on the shakeout drill for another few days.
Wait! A shakeout drill?
Yeah, you remember?
No, what's? Tell me again.
It was an exercise that started on November 13 to November 18 by FEMA. By military, police, and ambulances, and everybody from Southern California only, for preparation for the great earthquake that they think that may come sooner or later from San Andreas Fault.
Oh.
And then,
so now there's conspiracy from nature, too, right?
Goddamn Mother Nature, I swear.
So day one went pretty good, I mean... But then I cannot believe that under nose of the FEMA, under nose of the military and all these things, then there are fires all over California.
California.
Yeah.
600 homes are burned to scraps. And then, yet, what the hell these people are then doing for?
Mo,
if there is go ahead.
Do you think the Iranians are responsible for the fire?
No, actually...
It's probably the Jews.
It is the Jews, Mo.
It's the Jews.
No. Jews, for sure, they're not responsible. I mean, if it's responsible, it was the 777 of California, you know?
What's a 777?
Like the Boeing 777?
No. 777, it was the British. They had the same kind of derail that the bombs would be exploded on the trains. And exactly it happened. The bombs exploded and so many people died in London.
Aha.
And that's why I call it the 77 of the Californians. And then, I mean, it's very impossible. How couldn't they contain all these fires soon? Since all the exercise is going on, and all the FEMA's there, police, military, etc. there. So, what happened? Why suddenly we have so many fires? So there is a suspicious that it was.
You're all over the place. I can't follow. You know, I mean, you're like all over the place with these things. But you know, I don't know. I think Susie's right. I think it's the Jews.
Definitely the Jews.
And I think they start all the fires out here, and they just don't tell us about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that way, you know, because you know why? Because there's a lot of Jews in L.A. So that way, if their houses burn, they can file for FEMA.
It all comes back to being cheap.
Exactly, and asking for insurance money and so forth.
Yep.
So I think that's what it is, Mo. Mo, did you listen to the discussion we had with the Palestinian on Friday?
No, unfortunately, I missed it because I'm on another session. I have another program.
You're cheating on us.
Yeah, Mo, go back to the archives. Listen, because I think you like it because I think it'll speak to you because you care about these things, you know? So we were talking about the Palestinians and the Israelis. I think you want to listen to
that. It was a friend from my biology class, and he got very, very heated and passionate about the subject matter, to say the least.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Can I give you this website? Please go to this website.
Sure.
And then you will be able to see what radical Islam are cooking for us in USA and Canada. And the person who made this movie
is this website legal?
Okay, what's Muslim, the website?
Muslim, thethirdjihad.com.
Okay, God bless you.
Yeah. What did you say again, Mo?
The third jihad.com. You can see half an hour exclusive video of it. Please pass it on to your friends, and you see what these radical Islamists are cooking for us. I'm not going to become Muslim by force. I'm going to fight these radical Islamists, whether are in Europe, whether in my background. I will fight them to death. We are not going to allow them to take over.
Do you have a beard?
No, I have shaved everything.
Yeah, Mo shaves everything.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So I don't have a beard.
Mo, you don't.
I hate to have beard.
Yeah.
I am against Islam. I am against Muhammad.
Right.
And against radical Islam. Right. That's why I shave everything.
Right. But Mo, you don't shave your ass too, right?
Yeah, I shave my ass.
Oh, you? No, this is my kind of guy. Okay, Mo. Listen, stay tuned because Susie's going to tell us all about her wild weekend. So
yes.
We don't want to miss on that.
Sure, I will do that. God bless you guys. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom, Haifa. And God bless you.
Shalom, L'chaim.
Yeah, all the best, Mo.
Have a nigila.
Susie, your Hebrew is getting better all
the
time.
I know. It's because I'm going to become a Jew.
Yeah, your Hava Nagila is getting better and better. I was almost I was at the step of enrolling you to
take Hebrew courses?
To J-Date, but you never responded to my email. I wanted to ask you if you wanted me to enroll.
Absolutely, I'm waiting. Okay. I mean, even though my boyfriend's sitting in the other room, I don't think he'll mind if that I'm enrolled in J-Date.
No.
Simply for research purposes only, of course.
That's all, yeah.
Yes.
You're not going to meet any of these Jews.
Oh, speaking of weird dating services and stuff. So I was on my other website that I've been kind of spying on.
Yeah.
Called Seeking Arrangement, the one that's like sugar babies looking for the sugar daddies.
Right.
And so I responded to this one guy, and, you know, he actually wasn't really terribly unattractive. He was an Indian guy, but he had just gotten, he just became a doctor and has his own private practice. Mm-hmm. And he's looking for a girl to walk all over him, literally.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's called trampling.
Yes.
Yeah, there's
basically
a fetish like that.
He wrote me a very explicit letter being like, I think we can have a lot of fun, because he said in the thing, I don't want any sex. I just want someone to walk all over me.
Wow.
And I want someone to, basically abuse me and beat the shit out of me. Got a little bit of dominatrix in you, he wants to know. and he wants to give you a credit card and have you max it out and abuse him. And then he wants you to, like, take the credit card and go off on a date with another man and, like, use it to pay for dinner and then, like, use it to humiliate him and be like, what do you think now, bitch?
What the fuck is wrong with these guys? I mean, the other day, this guy wanted you to manage his money, right?
Yes, yes. I can't believe it. Like, seriously.
Then he
wants me to, like, step in. He's like, do you have smelly feet or smelly stockings or nylons? Like, how bad do they get? Wow. Are you going to rub them in my face? And I was just like, wah.
This guy's totally into humiliation, huh?
Yes. I mean, I wonder, this is what fascinates me about, like, going on these sites. You know, I mean, I just wonder what kind of things happened to these people, like, when they were children to make them this fucked up?
I know. That's, like, really fucked up.
Really fucked up.
You know?
Oy vey. But, you know, so for as funny as it is, it's also a little bit sad.
Yeah, I suppose.
But so Franz comes over last night, and he opens my computer, and he starts going through my email, and he sees seekingarrangement.com, like, you have a message from Woody. He's like, what the fuck is this? He's like, you're looking for a sugar daddy? I was like, no, it's strictly research for the radio. I was like, and I'm becoming a Jew as well.
Right.
Like, you know, it's mostly for show.
Right, but why is he going through your email, though?
Oh, I don't know. Because if he left his up, and I would go through his in a heartbeat, too.
I suppose, huh? What a relationship.
We're very trusting.
Yeah, I see.
Yes. It's very, very healthy.
Oh, all right, God. So going back to your weekend now, you started telling us before Mo called.
Oh, yes. So anyway, my roommate Lisa had a birthday party at the house this weekend, mm-hmm. on Saturday night. And so we ended up having three DJs at the house. We totally cleaned the entire place and made it look absolutely gorgeous.
And why three DJs, though?
You know, because you get different styles of music.
Oh, so they take turns playing the
music?
Yeah,
they all take turns playing. Yeah.
That's interesting.
One of them was this gorgeous girl named Karen. She was totally hot. Like, all the girls that came to the party, you know, most of Lisa's friends and some of my friends as well, everyone was dressed up to the nines. They looked totally gorgeous and sexy.
Really?
Boobs and ass were everywhere.
Well, I'm taking issue with the fact I wasn't invited to
the
party.
You know what? I totally... Lisa told me to invite people, and I really didn't even think about it.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have come. No, I would have.
You would have?
I would have
come. Oh, you know what, Sam? I totally should have invited you. I apologize.
That's okay. No need to apologize. I know. I mean,
next time.
I'm too square for you.
No. You would have been dying laughing because you've never seen me drunk.
No.
Oh, God. Apparently, I was the life of the party for the first 3 hours, and then I passed out. but so I totally did, like, a face plant and passed out, like, on my couch, and I fell asleep for, like, 2.5-3 hours, and then I woke up again, like, fluffed my hair, did some mouthwash, and out I went. I was ready to party again.
Really?
Yes.
Amazing.
I know.
Wow. So, after you, like, fell asleep and shit?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It wasn't really sleep. It was more, like, passed out, and before I fell asleep, I ate mushrooms, so.
Oh, you did? And what kind of mushrooms were those?
Magic mushrooms.
Oh, magic mushrooms.
Magic mushrooms, yes.
Like, known as shrooms?
Yes. They make you very happy.
Really?
So, but I had drank so much wine, like white wine, I wasn't really aware of how much I was drinking, you know, because I was being social butterfly Susie and flitting around and flirting with all these people and trying to make everyone comfortable and, you know, just directing people to the bathroom and up here and there while I was dancing and shaking my little ass. And then my girlfriend, Michelle, she was like, oh, Suze, you want a mushroom? And I was like, yes.
I'll take one. Don't they taste nasty, though?
They really do taste nasty.
Really? I remember when I took them a long time ago, I think I was a teenager, and I almost puked.
Oh, they're super, super nasty.
They're really nasty.
My favorite way to take them is if you you can kind of make them into... I guess you can kind of drain. I haven't actually done this myself, but I have a lot of friends that are good cooks that do it.
Yeah.
You can make a butter out of it, and then you can make it into like a chocolate or a cookie or something like that.
Really?
And then it's quite edible.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Then you have to be careful because then you're just like nom nom nom, and you eat like a whole.
I know.
A whole
and what if you swallow them straight? It probably wouldn't work the same, huh?
No, it does. Right? It does, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do, like wash it down with something.
Washed it down with wine.
Yeah.
But so I ended up just having like the trippiest dreams in the world. You know, it looked like something like out of the 60s. There's like flowers dancing in my head, and it's like la la la.
Okay, so let's do inventory of this. Now, you were drinking, so you had alcohol in you, then mushrooms.
Yes.
Okay, what else?
Oh, well, then back to alcohol again when
then
I woke up.
Then back to alcohol. No pot or anything?
And marijuana, too.
Okay,
yeah.
so far you were like
really
totally
consider.
Fucked up from three different drugs. Was there any other? Ecstasy?
There was actually supposed to be some ecstasy, but I fell asleep. And when I fell asleep, because these two guys were at the, that were at the party, both of them were DJs, as soon as I met them, I was just like, oh, yeah, I go to Canada, and I go to these EKG parties where we take ecstasy, ketamine, and GHB. And their mouths just dropped. And I was like, oh, yeah. And they're like, are you kidding me? That's all we ever do. You don't understand how rare it is to find like someone around here, or at least in my experience, that does ketamine.
What's that?
It's a horse tranquilizer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Is it?
Yes.
God, man. I thought those quaaludes were bad when we took them. Those were animal tranquilizers.
Tranquilizers.
Really?
You speak a good English this morning. Mm-hmm. yeah. But yeah, so anyway.
What's his name? Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd, yes. I'm hunting Wabbit. Is that him?
Yeah, Silly Wabbit.
Silly Wabbit.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh,
go
God.
Ahead.
Anyway, I don't know. So that was pretty much Saturday night. But the guys were really disappointed because I start telling them like how hard I party. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I could party. I could hang with the best of them. Uh-huh. Next thing you know, I'm doing a face plant on my couch. And they come up and they're poking me. And they're like, what? Sleeping Beauty. Hello.
Wow.
They're like, you're all talk.
How long were you out for? An hour?
No, like 2 or 3 hours.
2 or 3 hours.
Right through the prime time
really?
Of the
Right
of
there
the party.
While the party's going on around you.
Yep.
Wow, Susie.
Yes. I'm such a dork. Lisa was so mad. She's like, you slept through half my party.
Yeah. But I mean, this is at your house, so it's okay. But what if you fell asleep in someone else's house and people, like, took advantage of you or something?
Well, actually, you know? my friend Josh came to the party, too. And he was the one that, like, he could see me. He knows me very well. So he could see me, like, on my way out. Mm-hmm. And so he, you know, brought me to my couch. And he put me on the couch and, like, put a blanket around me and everything. And then I heard him right before I fell asleep or passed out. I hear him go outside and tell Lisa, your roommate is passed out. You know, I just want, you know, for her own vaginal safety, you know, be aware.
Yeah.
Don't let any strange men go into that room and, you know, have their way with her. So Lisa changed the note that was on my door that said, you know, bathroom only to no fucking. I was like, oh, great.
Yeah. Well, so how many people were at the party?
At the height of the party, there were probably about 80 people there.
Wow, that's a lot.
I know.
What is it, a two-bedroom house or something?
Well, it's one bedroom and then a huge loft on the top floor.
Wow.
Yeah. But then it's got a three-tiered balcony, so it was pretty cool.
So are you in the loft?
No, I'm in the bedroom.
You're in the bedroom.
And she has the loft.
And Lisa has the loft.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a really cool loft. I really like it, actually.
Yeah.
It's kind of huge. But I have to tell you the most distressing part of my weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Someone stole my fucking glass dildo.
Wow.
At this freaking party.
You don't say. At the party?
It's the centerpiece of my bedroom. I mean, it's right. Absolutely beautiful.
So it is displayed on a shelf or something?
Yes.
Or on a,
it's right on top of my desk.
Okay.
And it's gone.
It's gone.
Who steal? What kind of nasty, nasty person steals someone else's dildo?
And what is it? It's pretty big, according to what you said, right? Or not that
it's
big?
It's kind of, well, it's skinnier than this little water bottle,
right.
But it's about the same height.
Oh, so like what, 8 inches? No, more like 12 inches or something. Yeah.
I would go, it's probably 10 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's so beautiful. And, you know, it wasn't even my dildo in the first place. It was a second, mm-hmm. I got, you know, this is kind of gross, but I was given a secondhand dildo.
That is gross.
You know, you throw it in the washing machine, or not the washing machine, the dishwasher.
Yeah. Now, what's it like to masturbate with a glass dildo? Is it fun? I mean, is it
well,
cool?
Well, I don't prefer doing it on my own, you know, but if the Franz wants to step in, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of, I don't know, because it's kind of ribbed and it feels kind of cool like that.
Right.
But if you have a whole bunch of different things going on like that on down there, like, you know, a finger in the ass, you know, the glass dildo, and then you're being eaten out, or you're masturbating yourself with your vibrator.
Uh-huh.
It's really quite nice.
Oh, it is.
It's quite lovely.
Okay, I'm sure if you kept it. But now I got good news for you because
uh-oh.
Your friend Eric wrote us a message.
Okay.
And he said, I found that glass dildo in shoebox. I guess he meant in a shoebox.
In a shoebox.
Along with a second vibrator, a leather saddle crop, Russian lesbian schoolgirl DVD, a digital camera, a bedside journal, and a pair of dirty undies aboard the first sailboat I rented. What the fuck is this?
No, you remember Eric? He came into
yes,
the studio.
Yes, with a skirt.
Yes, with a skirt,
with
wearing
skirt.
A dress.
Right.
Yes. I know how to pick them, I tell you, Sam.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, so anyway, I got that dildo from him because he literally found it on the yacht that he was living on when I first met him.
Oh, I see. So that's what he means.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I thought he meant he just found it now. And
No. He was the original. Well, actually, he was the second owner of it. I was the third. And now some other sick fuck stole my goddamn dildo.
Oh, wow.
And if you're listening out there, I want it back.
Yeah. And if you stick it in, I hope it hurts you inside.
If you stick it in, I hope it hurts you. Exactly. Yeah.
Let the glass break inside your... Ugh.
Oh,
no,
God.
No, no.
That's just mean.
No, that's mean.
That's just mean, Sam. But seriously, like, what kind of sick fuck does that?
I don't know, Susie.
Someone else's sex toys? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I know. I mean, people are fucking desperate, Susie. I don't know what to tell you.
And they're expensive, too. You know, they go for like $120 or something.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's a solid piece of artwork.
Yeah. I suppose it is.
That keeps on giving. One of those brilliant ones.
So when was the last time you used it?
Back in my Venice apartment, so it's probably been about 3 months or so.
It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
No, it's more like a conversation
piece. But yeah, it's definitely a conversation piece, but I definitely don't think I washed it after the last usage.
Oh my God. How disgusting.
Oh, I know. Anyway, should we call our author?
Yes, let's call the author. You got a chance to look at the book.
Yes, she wrote the book called High Gorgeous.
High Gorgeous.
Starry Eyes and Toxic Lies by Melissa K. Dean.
Right. And she's going to tell us all about her story. I think she's got a fascinating story. That's her biography.
I really like the cover.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a woman looking at a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's got some meaning, so we're going to find out from her. And her name is Melissa Dean. And let's see if we can find her. I think you like the story. I didn't really read the book, but I know what it's about.
You got the gist?
Yes. So we're calling Melissa Dean, probably on the West Coast.
Hello.
Good morning, Melissa. This is Sam and Susie in the morning calling you from Los Angeles. How are you doing?
Good morning. Pretty good.
Good, good. Where are you? Are you on the East Coast?
As a matter of fact, I am. I'm in Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes. Yes, it's very cold.
I'm sure. Not here, it's not. Let me tell you, man.
We're on fire.
Yeah, from what I hear, it's even getting hotter, unfortunately, yes. Out there.
Yes. Well, yeah, we don't get any winter here. It just gets cold sometimes, but that's about it, you know? Well, so is this where you grew up, in Cleveland?
No, as a matter of fact, I grew up in central Ohio. I migrated up to Cleveland because I got accepted into law school here and just continued my education.
So we're speaking to an attorney, right?
That's right.
Oh, wow. Sure, wow. How does it feel to be an attorney? I mean, do you get people that really don't like attorneys sometimes?
Oh, I get a lot of that.
Yeah.
I get a lot of that.
I know.
Sam doesn't particularly like attorneys
well,
either.
Well, I don't know that anybody
does. I don't
bite
unless you ask politely.
Yeah. I don't think anybody likes lawyers except their own, you know? When it comes to your own lawyer, you like
Don't feel bad. I don't like most of my colleagues either.
There you go.
Trust
That's
me.
The way to do it, yeah.
Well, you know, I was one of the types, though, that when I went to law school up here, I tell people, and I don't use the word with any disrespect, but I call myself, I went to school as one of the do-gooders, you know. I went to law school because I wanted to change the world and all that good stuff, but now I realize, you know, it's hard enough to change myself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go. Wow. Yeah. So, okay, so you pretty much have stayed in Ohio, and so you grew up there, and you went to law school. Now, I know you probably went over your story a million times, so let's try to compress it a little bit.
Give us a brief synopsis.
Yeah, give us like a paragraph or two, and then we can discuss it a little more, but the essence of your book.
Okay, well, High Gorgeous, it's a provocative title to some people, but those are the two words. I chose those because those are the two words that became my true life, and initiated my story into online dating fraud and the emotionally abusive relationship and marriage that resulted. Now, and those are the words with which my former husband began his first email to me. And the rest, as they say, was dysfunctional history.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow. So you met actually not the date from hell, but the husband from hell.
Yes, I did.
Wow, interesting. Now, at the time, had you been single for a while?
Yes, I had. And, you know, that's why I decided to try online dating initially. You know, I was 33 at the time, felt like I had it all together. I was an attorney working as a magistrate for a juvenile court, you know, but I was dissatisfied with some of the one-on-one interaction with the opposite sex. And I thought, oh, dating websites. Well, there you can hand-pick potential mates with profiles and all the cards laid out. And, but what I didn't understand was the security of the computer screen really provided my ex, and I think a lot of other people too, an easier opportunity to claim they're something they're not. I mean, my ex claimed, oh, you know, I'm a former Navy SEAL, I've only been married once, and, you know, everything was a lie.
Wow, wow.
So and, hence the mask on your cover.
but here you are, obviously a smart woman, you know, you go to law school and all that, and but I guess that had nothing to do with intelligence, right? You were like, you needed someone emotionally.
Yeah, academics doesn't have a darn thing to do with, you know, how you respond emotionally to situations. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to school with some of the dumbest and brightest people in the world. And one of the brightest people I know happens to be my mother, who has a high school education. You know, and that's a good point to bring up, because, you know, especially like with the, take for example the aspect of the whole military fraud, you know, with my husband claiming he had a military background. Well, you know, I'm an attorney, I'm fairly intelligent academically, but, you know, I'm a civilian, and I don't know, I lack that background to ask the proper questions about military procedures.
Yeah,
the lingo, and here he's spouting all this stuff that he's read from Tom Clancy novels, and I don't know what the heck is true or not.
Oh, really?
Now, did that attract you that he said he was a Navy SEAL? I mean,
actually, no, and I'll explain why, because in my situation, and I really hate the fact that I have to say this, but at that time I had a negative understanding of Navy SEALs and Special Forces, and I really had not so great of a picture of guys that did that, and I thought, oh, you know, they're violent, macho. So what my ex had to do was actually overcome that stereotype to get me involved with him, and I became charmed by him. Now, I through this whole drama, however, I mean, I've been able to educate myself about, you know, the very fine people who go through that rigorous training, and I don't have that perception anymore. But my ex actually had to overcome that.
Yeah, yeah. So
he had to overcome one of his own make-believe lies. That's hysterical.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's true. That's funny, huh?
I know.
That's ironic, yeah. So, wow. So now, so you went on a dating site. Were you dating anybody before him? I mean, did you go even on one date to meet someone, or was that the first one?
His was the first one that I actually dated. I mean, I had some responses from other gentlemen on the dating site.
Right.
And but his was the first one that captured my attention enough that I wanted to even pursue phone contact and then maybe a one-on-one lunch date.
Right.
And that's what we did. We ended up, we chatted for online for a while, for about maybe, 2 weeks or so. Then we moved to the phone, and we talked on the phone for a couple more weeks. Then we decided to set up a lunch date. And I, so you know, I kept it a lunch date, you know, but in retrospect, I don't think that that was the best course of action. I think people who are dating online, you know, need to take a little bit more time with that phone stage.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yes. But so he seemed okay to you on the phone. I mean, you were actually attracted to him. You found him interesting.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And how
long until you guys actually got married? I saw you guys got married in Vegas.
Yeah, well, you're jumping a little ahead, I think. Let's just find out, because I want to know what happened in between. So you guys started dating, right? Did you feel he was marriage material?
Yes, I did. I thought, well, upstanding guy, you know, from whatever my perception was about SEALs, I thought, well, at least, you know, he has a good record of serving his country, and God, anybody that's going to be that dedicated to their country is going to be dedicated to a marriage too, right?
Yeah.
So
then
you know,
you're rationalizing already.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's my thought process, really.
Yeah,
and
right.
I was, you know, writing that pink cloud of love, and within 6 months after we first met one-on-one, we were flying to Vegas to get married. And it was quick. Now, it wasn't as quick as my parents, by the way. My parents, for example, dated about a month before he asked her to elope with him, and they've been married for over about 50 years. So mm-hmm. having seen that marriage model where it did work out with a quick involvement, I didn't think anything. Okay. So meanwhile, again, I'm going through this. I'm thinking, oh, my parents did it, da-da-da. We're flying out to Vegas. We even flew my parents out to Vegas to be with us during the ceremony. And what I didn't know, he's still, at the time that we're actually walking down the aisle at the Little White Wedding Chapel, he's still dating his girlfriend back home.
Oh.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. The plot thickened.
Yes,
yeah, and you didn't obviously know this at the time. How long did it take you to find out?
It took me until after we split 3 years later before I realized that he was still involved with her at the time we married.
No. Mm. Did you know of her?
I knew of her, but as my story indicates, she was explained to me as a platonic friend.
Yeah. And now you know there's no such thing. Yeah.
God, I hate that word.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just a friend. I love it. The 50 Cent song, Just a Friend.
Yeah, and I've got the other one, but they say he's just a friend. But yeah. They say he's just a friend.
Yeah, you know, I don't care what a great friendship you have, but it's always one person wanting sex from the other and or expecting it eventually, you know. And even if they don't expect it, it just happens. Yes, it just happens, you know, because, you know, people don't stop being attracted to the opposite sex just because they're friends, you know. And who knows? But so all this time he had... What, another life?
Yes, he did. Yeah, no doubt. For starters, I didn't know that at the time that we married that I was wife number three. I wasn't wife number two.
Mm. And he wasn't a Navy SEAL.
There's so much I didn't know. Once we got married, you know, truth slowly started coming out. I mean, you know, we started to get mailings at the house from the IRS. I eventually learned that he was behind. He was running from the IRS. He was behind on some basic bills.
Wow.
And the IRS, he explained to me as, it was a product of his service overseas and that his ex-wife was supposed to file for him and all this drama. But that was a lie.
Yeah.
You know, but slowly I started to see things about the financial end. And as things progressed, it really wasn't his lies that got me out, that drove me to leave the marriage. It was his abusive tendencies.
Oh.
I was lucky that the abuse didn't gravitate to physical. However, I was shoved a couple times, but the bulk of it was more emotional in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, though, and I can't speak for all the listeners out there, but I have to say, though, that I found the emotional aspect of the abuse to be much more traumatic, and I think that if he actually had punched or kicked me, I might have been out sooner.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. No,
because
absolutely.
I take it seriously. Being an attorney, I take a criminal violation seriously, and I could spot it right away and call the cops. But I didn't realize the severity of what I was really in.
Yeah. You know, I can so much relate to this because several years ago, I went to a weekend workshop, and there was one lady, an older lady, and her problem was that her husband was emotionally abusing her. And and this was like the facilitator of the group was someone who does things a little in unusual ways. So, you know, suddenly he walks up to her. He gets up, walks up to her, and slaps her.
What?
Okay, we're like sitting in a circle.
Okay.
He walks over and
see where this is going.
Yeah. Yes, you can see. And and I could not believe what I was seeing. Here's this man actually slapping this older, you know, respectable woman. And she started fighting back. And he says, you see, he says, your husband is smart because if he ever did this to you, you would have left a long time ago.
Wow.
So I can totally relate to what you're saying. So I guess with emotional abuse, sometimes you don't realize you're being abused.
Right. And you know what? Just as in physical abuse, and this is ironic, Sam, because you know what? Even before I passed the bar exam, I worked as an advocate for a domestic violence shelter, and even somebody with my experience didn't necessarily realize what was growing at our house. And it began, just like other types of abuse, it began very low-key. I mean, he began with flattery and respect that was characterized in our courtship. You know, he used to...
Like high gorgeous?
gave way to insecurity, you know, invasions of my privacy, accusations like, you know... one of our major confrontations happened when he decided to get into my email account and quiz me about writing a former colleague, you know, and it was verbal abuse. Oh, another thing, verbal abuse disguised as jokes. I see a lot of women go through that, and they don't call their mate on the carpet.
Oh, morning. I see. So
and they try to, they put them down.
Like jokingly.
Ask it as a joke and say, oh, you're too sensitive. You're too sensitive if you call them on the carpet for that.
Right.
And by the time that it got toward the end of our marriage where, you know, I was being called the C word and, you know, other things were going on, by the time it got that bad, you know, it had been a slow process.
Yeah.
You know, so I think a lot of people don't understand it's a slow process, and people ask, well, why don't you just get your butt out of there? Because it didn't happen all at once.
Right. So
it was flattery. It was flattery and respect at first. You know, even with my body, he was so flattered. When we first got married, he's like, oh, have you ever thought about modeling? And, you know, then he got this idea to start a motorcycle biker babe website. And, you know, I was actually the team leader on the website for a while. That's how he got me involved. He flattered me and, you know, there's a picture of me. The first poster I ever did is in my book.
Oh, wow.
As a matter of fact,
really?
The website doesn't exist anymore, but I got involved in that. But what it became in the course of our marriage and the context was a way to degrade my body, you know, and if I showed any sign of a flaw, it was this, that, and the other thing. I was called names and, you know, fat. And mind you, I never got above a size 2 during our marriage.
Aww. Really? Wow.
you no, obese pig you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
you're pretty hot from your picture.
Yeah, there's a picture. There's actually evidence of me posing on the website.
Wow.
Now, granted, though, it's not as interesting as some of those pictures of Daisy May on your site, though.
No, I
saw that. I'm jealous.
You didn't go to that page, did you?
Oh, yes, I did. I saw the evidence, and I'm jealous.
of the little lick and kiss I got from her
breast. Yes, I was actually jealous of you, Susan.
Oh, well, we won't go there now because you called about your book. But,
yeah, it got bad. And the worst, I have to say that the worst is, and this is one of the red flags that made me realize I had to get my rear end out. Animal cruelty even reared its head
in
the course of this dysfunction, because one morning in the summer, he actually killed a family pet. It was a pet cat in a fit of rage, and
what?
He did it right in front of my 9-year-old stepdaughter.
You've got to be. I hope you went to jail for that.
I swear to God, I wish I was kidding. You know, I couldn't make this crap up. It's so bad. It's so bizarre.
Did you call the police?
You know, with animal, I hate to tell you, but they really do not take that as seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
even if I had, I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they have more important pressing things sometimes. I can understand, but I mean
that's just indicative of a greater problem later on.
And that's emotional abuse for you too. That's just
there's not a day that goes by really that I don't get reminded of it somehow. I have a pet cat right now, and sometimes he'll do things that remind me. You know, he'll do things and just play around and that remind me of the other cat that got killed.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes it comes back. But one of the things that annoys me the most, and aside from the obvious aspects of recovery, is that the irony is that he blamed all this kind of crap, the behavior, on his phony military background, the so-called combat stress he experienced, and you know, he got his 3 Purple Hearts and had to go through all these injuries, and he's stressed out and blah blah blah. He blamed all his abusive personality on that.
Naturally. Somebody else is responsible. Yeah, someone else is responsible for that.
Right.
Now, but you know what baffles me, and you know, and that shows, I think, sometimes that women are like, they would be at a desperate place that they pretty much hear what they want to hear, you know? And because I don't understand you, I don't believe you actually fell for the high gorgeous. I mean, isn't that like the most used line?
Actually, no, it wasn't.
No?
It wasn't, you know, but what it was, his email did stand out, but what it did was it made me actually take notice. At first I thought, who in the world is this clown? Nobody else who had responded to my profile responded so boldly.
Right.
And I looked at it, and I looked at his email, and I'm reading it, and you know, the text of his email actually seemed pretty level-headed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what started us corresponding, and that was it.
Yeah. Now, what about family and friends? I mean, were people warning you? Were people able to see what was going on?
Well, come to find out, after I split from my husband, my mother informed me that she had some pretty heavy misgivings and did not get good vibes from him when they first met. But when she opted not to say a lot to me, to let her daughter make her mistakes, and she was in a very awkward position that I think many loved ones are when they watch their child or their sisters or sibling or something getting involved in a bad situation, because, you know, you don't want to alienate that person, your family member, your friend.
If my family tells me, you know, that they don't like a boyfriend, you know, the first thing I do is stay with him even longer.
Yeah, yeah, despite it. No,
exactly. And, you know, she knew. And by the time, and she knew in the back of her mind, and she was very correct on this, that when the serious crap started to hit the fan and I did finally leave, that her silence and her lack of judgment, or her lack of judgmentalism, I should say, let me approach her much more readily than I would have if she was, like, criticizing me constantly for my relationship choice.
Mm.
Right.
So she became my confidant.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's the way it should be, you know. And but,
right, right.
But sometimes
so many people, I don't think, understand. They see their friend or their loved one getting involved in a situation, they want to jump in, they want to say,
right,
oh my God, he's a total jerk, what are you thinking? But they don't understand what that ramifications that approach has.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So how did you decide finally to leave? I mean, what was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Well, the incident where my ex killed the cat was a major red flag. And approximately 2 months after that, we had a major confrontation also over the email incident. I think I referenced that before.
Right.
When that confrontation occurred, he actually threatened my life. And unfortunately, it culminated in an incident of sexual abuse. And that I think, the final straw that led me to leave.
Mm.
And I started planning about how I could do it, started making safety plans, and that was when I started disclosing to my mother more details about what I was enduring. I was letting it come out slowly because I knew she would be so overwhelmed. But what really helped me, Sam, and I think I really want to get this across to a lot of the people out there, especially the women, is that what really helped me is that when I actually started talking to people, started disclosing to people, when a person in that situation hears the words come out of their own mouth of what's going on, sometimes that's the most constructive thing. For me to actually sit in a chair, you know, a reasonably intelligent, as you said, attorney in my mid-30s, for me to sit there in a chair and say, you know what, my husband called me the C-word. You know,
mm-hmm.
I saw him go off and kill a beloved family pet. For me to hear that come out of my own mouth, very constructive, and I was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you get to that point? I mean, how did you realize that if you say it, then you realize how terrible it is?
Well, I did. I wasn't going through that analytical thought process at the time, but what I was doing, I was just talking because I didn't, you know, it was boiling over with me. I started dropping little details all along, even saying things that at work that I wasn't really thinking about.
Mm.
And I was confiding to my mom in the meantime. But, you know, after a year and a half, you know, a couple of years go by since that whole thing has happened, it's easy for me to see. The most important thing for me was starting to talk about it and hearing those words come out of my mouth.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, this online dating thing is like really become dangerous, you know, and
that's where you met your wife, Sam.
Yeah. Well,
what do we know about her? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, she was no Navy SEAL, let me tell you that. But
it's not in 2008, yeah.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing, and you know, that's why your story was fascinating to me, because it's sort of like the extreme on the one end, you know, and with me was that I met my wife online, and we've been together for 5 years, and it's been amazing, you know, and it didn't take very long. So I think the bottom line here is don't give up on online dating, because it does have its benefits, you know.
And that's one of the that's important for me to get across as well, because this is, to me, this, my story is not really an indictment of online dating in general. It's a warning. It's a very cautionary tale. It's obviously my memoir of what happened to me, but it's a cautionary tale of what can happen when people let their guard down a little too early in a relationship, and, you know, they don't know the questions to ask. You know, I grew up with an excellent role model for a marriage. My parents, as I said, they've been married for years, and they still walk around the grocery store holding hands, for heaven's sake. You know, and that's what I grew up with. You know, Dad makes coffee for her in the morning. They treat each other like gold, and I grew up kind of naive that people are good, that everybody treats folks like that in a marriage and in a relationship, and that's not the case. There are people out there who have their own agenda to defraud, to mistreat, to control, and you can meet those people regardless if you're online or if you're sitting at a bar.
Exactly.
But you still got to be careful, pay attention to your instinct, and keep your guard up until you've really
and do a background check.
Yeah, and today you can do research, you know. And Susie, didn't we have this lady that
we had a lady called? She had a website.
Something to help women,
for protecting women, and you can basically you can go on, like what you could do, Melissa, with this gentleman in particular. You can go onto her website and you could punch his name in and be like, listen, all of you women out there, you know, this guy is a fraud, he's a fake, you know, he's a sexual abuser, he's an animal abuser.
I know
what
that you're talking about.
Do you remember the name of it?
I know,
Do you remember the name of it? It is on our page on the, if you go...
In the archives.
Yeah, if you go through our archives, it is there. And so that's one way, you know...
To get your revenge.
Yeah. There's a lot of different ways, but you can help other women. Now, my biggest question is, what has happened now? I mean, where is he now? Do you know anything about him? Are you guys in touch at all?
Well, no, we don't... keep in touch. I think I'd rather
you don't have
stay
coffee?
In touch with Bin Laden, you know. but as far as I know, he's still living in the same county, a few miles south of me, and he still propagates the Navy SEAL lie. As far as I know.
Oh, really?
In the bars where he serves, and that's about all I know. I am aware, however, that the relationships with girlfriends he's had since our split have become progressively more abusive and public, because there was an incident last year where he got into a violent confrontation outside a bar and punched his girlfriend at the time. So he's getting worse. And, you know, the more public these guys get with what they're doing, the more dangerous they are, because that means when a man is willing to do that kind of behavior in public, he doesn't feel like he has anything to lose.
Did you say before that he had a stepchild?
I had the stepchild. They were actually his children. They were my stepchildren during our marriage.
Right.
So he has children from a previous marriage?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, those poor kids.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So he's got the IRS, he's got child support, all the agencies love him.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, was he not pissed that you wrote this book about him?
Has he read it? Does he know?
Did you use his real name?
He is aware from some of my contacts that I maintain down in that county. He is aware of the book. He has not dared to contact me.
Oh, okay, good
I think
for you.
He's more intelligent than that.
Yeah. Well, now he's under, you know,
scrutiny in the town.
Exactly, under magnifying glass. So he better watch out, you know.
Well, I was. I don't know if you noticed, but careful to use different names for a few people. Now, granted, people that knew both of us, either of us, would know, but. Yeah, people in his county do know.
Mm, Well, this is a fascinating story. Susie, any more questions before we...
No, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm sure...
Yeah, like I said, my mom herself said, you know, Melissa, you lived a Dateline episode.
Yeah, there you go, you know. And I'm sure at a certain point somebody told you, why don't you write a book about your life? Or was that something?
Yes, it occurred to me, and it occurred to my mother, too. God love her. As a matter of fact, you can credit my mother with the alternative name that I used for my former husband in the book. Jack Cass.
Jack Cass.
Really quick, you get the point.
Oh, Jack Cass. Okay, now I get it, yeah.
Yes, that's my mother's doing, by the way.
Oh, awesome. And so, Melissa, where are you now? Do you have? Are you in a relationship now? Are you happier?
Very, very happy, Sam. You know, as time has moved on, I've met a gentleman who has helped renew my faith in love. We are engaged to be married, and I did not meet him online, but I have known him as platonic friends for 13 years.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you see, after 13 years, they finally drawn to each other sexually. You see?
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Melissa, this is awesome, and... very fascinating story, I think, you know, and a lesson really for a lot of abused women, battered women, you know, emotionally battered, let's say. But, you know, I mean, obviously, sometimes it gets into physical as well, and people still stay,
right.
You know, and they still stay.
It's a warning. It can lead to physical, and I think it was very close to getting that way in my situation, and it's important to, you know, make the linkage.
Right.
The linkage.
Right. Well, Melissa Dean, the book is called High Gorgeous, and I'm sure you can find it anywhere where books are sold, right?
As a matter of fact, I think it is in my my distributor has gotten it in some of the major retailers, but just in case
I saw it on Amazon.
Ask for it. If you don't see it, ask for it. It is also on Amazon,
right.
BarnesandNoble.com and Borders.com. Too.
Right, right. So you definitely can get it. And again, a fascinating book if you guys want to get into the life of a woman.
My sister's really into the online dating. Maybe I'll actually give her the book for Christmas.
Yeah. And Susie's just ready for me to enroll her in J-Date. I mean, I don't know now.
He wants me to date a couple good Jews. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, you know, I don't know. At any rate, I was going to say some things, but we have a guest on the line, so.
Okay.
At any rate.
Okay, well, maybe someday I'll visit you, and we'll take some pictures like Daisy.
Oh, Melissa.
Yeah. You are pretty hot in the pictures, that's for sure.
Thank you,
but,
dear.
And you're very nice as well, and we wish you all the best, and... thank you for giving us this book. I think it's probably cathartic for you and educational for other people.
Yes,
so
yes.
All the best to you. Are you still an attorney? Do you still practice?
Yes, I do. I am still an attorney. I haven't devoted a lot of energy lately to the private practice, but trying to put more energy into the writing project and doing community advocacy and education to different groups.
Cool.
Wonderful.
I guess, there are some actual...
You really are trying to change the world. There are some good lawyers left.
Yeah, there are, you see.
Still doing it, but...
Not all of them the stereotype. Melissa, thank you again, and
no problem.
To stay warm in Cleveland. Oh, yeah, in Cleveland, right?
Yes.
And
Happy Monday.
Yes, and do come visit us if you're ever in L.A., for sure.
Okay, I will do that.
Thank you, Melissa.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, very nice lady. And, you know, I respect people that are able to actually, you know, unroll their lives in front of the whole world, you know, and let them know. Because I'm sure at the time she felt a lot of shame, you know, doing that abuse and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I can't even imagine.
I know.
This is scary as I'm in the middle of all the online
I know, Susie.
Tangled in this web.
I know. You're fucking casual encounters. All right, man. Let's take a little break and we'll be back right after this.
He's one of the biggest celebrities in the world and our president-elect. He's Barack Obama. And now you can have hours of fun with Obama Trading Cards.
Aw, cool! I got the Obama Community Organizer and the State Senator card!
He's captured the imagination of a nation, so just imagine all the excitement you'll have collecting and trading these great cards.
Here you go, son.
Wow! A pack of Obama trading cards! Dad! I got the Obama rookie card from back when he called himself Barry!
Thanks, Dad.
Obama trading cards aren't just a great hobby. They're also a great investment.
I got the Obama birth certificate card. You know, the misprint one that says he was born in Hawaii. I sold it on eBay, and now I can afford his tax increase.
So pick up a pack of Obama trading cards today. It's family fun you can believe in.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Fascinating story, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta be careful, Susie. I mean, there's all kinds of people out there.
That's so scary. Although, I will say, you know, yes, he did, like, tell a bunch of lies and things like that. But I don't know. I definitely think, Actually, I don't know.
Why, you wouldn't have minded it, I mean?
Well, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people tell a lot of lies these days, and that it's just kind of like, I don't know. I don't find that people are very truthful for the most part.
No.
And, you know, everyone's always trying to make themselves, like, seem a little bit better than they are. You know, if they're just like a shitty, shady person.
I know. And the internet is a perfect place for people to do this, you know? Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're first, like, doing, like, the whole dating thing, it's like, well, what do you do? Oh, I'm a garbage man. No, it sounds so much better to be like, oh, you know, I'm a former Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
You know?
A garbage man. Yeah. That's true.
I mean, if you tell people, like, your real profession sometimes, I mean, if you really don't do anything that fabulous, how are you ever going to get a second date?
Yeah.
So maybe people just really have to kind of hide behind their little lies sometimes.
Yeah.
But that must be so weird to really just live a lie like that.
Yeah. I know, and have no qualms about it. You know, I'm sure he was fine with it. But
you've got to be a really creative person to actually do that.
I suppose, yeah.
God, I'd like to get a look inside the head of someone that can do that.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty amazing.
I know. So, have you had some wild sex since your boyfriend came back?
We actually only had sex once.
Oh, once.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. You were easing into it.
We're easing into it. Yes. we had sex Saturday morning, which actually made me a little bit late for work.
Oh.
I'm like, hurry it up. Let's go. Chop, chop.
Okay. You know which reminds me now? I got to tell you this.
Okay. Tell me.
Okay. Because I had to think about whether I want to tell this on the show or not. But
tell it.
I've got to. So my wife and I finally find some time yesterday afternoon to have sex, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know why this is funny.
It was...
The square talks.
Yeah, so...
He tells something personal.
So I got like really fucking horny, like a tickling in my dick, right? So I thought, okay, this is a perfect time now. So we go in the bedroom and everything, we start going at this, right? And we're like really, really into it and stuff. And then, so after a while, my wife goes, she says, I don't want to stop you, but you realize you have to stop the radio show that's on right now.
Oh, no.
And start the next one. And I freaked out. I'm like pulling out away. Ran to the fucking computer.
Oh, Sam.
So this is my life for you, Susie, you know? I live and dream this fucking...
Mid-fuck, you had to stop.
Mid-fuck,
you had to stop.
I'm running naked to the computer.
Oh, okay. No.
I'm all smelling like pussy and shit.
Oh, Sam.
And I'm running all over the place.
I can't believe, like, wrapped up in the moment, your wife even remembers this.
She remembers, man. She's, like, on top of everything.
Because you forget everything, so she's got to remember everything.
So I said, well, why didn't you tell me before? Because it was 5 minutes after the show was over, and there's, like, dead air, right?
Was there really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. There was 5 minutes of dead air?
Yeah, 5 minutes of dead air, because the owner of the station is fucking his wife right now.
Well, you know what, Sam? Good for you.
Yeah, so you see, I mean, I just...
Oh, that's so funny.
So how can I possibly have stories to tell if all I fucking do is work all the time, you know? I mean, I try to do something a little different, and bam, you know?
Oh, poor Sammy.
There's nothing worse than having to, like, jump in the middle of a fuck, you know? It's almost like when you get caught by somebody.
Oh, have you ever been caught?
No, by the kids of the girl I was fucking.
By the kids?
Yeah.
How old were they?
Well, one of the girls, I guess, woke up in the middle of the night. Luckily, the room was dark, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this woman was like...
See the one-eyed snake.
Yeah.
One-eyed monster.
Yeah. And so she walks in and all... I mean, the room was... The door was closed and everything, but the girl walked in.
She had a nightmare. She hops in bed and she's all like, ah!
I think she was like maybe 8. I don't know, whatever. And luckily, it was dark, but I'm sure she could see her mother bouncing up and down, you know?
Oh, no.
So what the fuck...
Probably the most risque place that I ever had sex at. Like, well, Franz and I were at the National Park in Utah at Moab, and we decided we were going to have sex, like, behind this rock.
Oh, I love that. You know what? I never had sex like that. I'm dying
to. Oh, man. It was so fucking hot. Like, it was just unbelievable. Because, you know, we were up at this National Park, and we were kind of, like, all the way up at the top of this area, right by Arches, which is this beautiful rock formation. Uh-huh. But so anyway, we're kind of hidden, but not really, because all of a sudden, like, the path, like, right below us, probably about like 15 feet beneath us, gets inundated with families.
Yeah.
So we've got like moms and dads, and like, you know, you've got like the 4-year-old sitting on like Uncle Johnny's shoulders as they're like marching along. And meanwhile, here I am like sitting on his lap, just like rocking his world. And he's just like, he totally freaked out. He's like, oh my God. He's like, we have to stop. I was like, no fucking way. I was like, I am so horny right now. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
I know. I don't know what it is about the outdoors, but it makes me very horny. You know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I wonder if this, like, going back to when I was like 15 and we went to a nude beach in the south of Israel, you know, a few friends. We're 15 years old and we just walked around naked the whole time, you know?
15-year-old boys are doing this?
Yeah. Do you believe that? I mean, it was like a, it's not just like any beach, you know. I mean, it was like area that was sort of like, you know, barren. I mean, there was nothing there.
Do kids in Israel, like, do they make fun of each other's penises and stuff like the way guys do here?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, I mean, it's a universal thing.
Like when you jump in the water, it gets really cold and you've got like shrinkage. Oh, yeah. And you're just like, oh, ha, yeah. Ha, ha, and like pointing and laughing.
Of course.
Oh, man.
I know.
So something really interesting happened to me. I go from penises to this. Last night, actually.
Yeah.
I was studying for my biology exam that I have today, mm-hmm. which I'm really not prepared for, but that's another story.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call from someone I haven't spoken to in 8 years.
Really?
Yes. It was my childhood manager, who actually, she quote-unquote discovered me.
Ah.
And got me into the commercial business.
Interesting.
I know. It was
so, and we were talking about this. We were talking about you like getting back into the business,
like last week.
And stuff. Yes,
it was either last week or
wow,
the week
is
before.
Is that weird? And you mentioned her too.
Yes, yes. So all of a sudden, she calls me like out of the blue. I could not believe it.
Wow, how did she find you?
Through our mutual friend David Bulk that I hadn't spoken to in a long time, and then he had Facebooked me.
Oh,
good old Facebook.
Yeah.
Because my sister found him on Facebook, and then he found me on Facebook, and you uh-huh. know, and then just everything spirals out of control that way. But it was just really, really, really nice talking to her and catching up on all the old news of all my old friends from the modeling business and things like that. And then she's like, Susie, you sound so grown up. I was like, I can't believe, or she can't believe like how grown up I sound.
Uh-huh.
Because I used to, I don't know.
So she hasn't seen you since you were 18?
Since I was 18.
Wow.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And like, there's a lot that's happened to me since then. Like I was telling her, I was like, obviously. Yeah, by the way, Sally, I was in the army, you know, I go hunting in Zimbabwe. You know, I used to be a lesbian, you know, all these things. And she's uh-huh. like, oh my God, I can't believe it. My little Susie. And so then I started telling her about the radio show and I was like, Sally, you have to check out the radio show. And she's like, oh my gosh, I totally will. Just tell me how to get onto it. And I did. And then I said, but wait a minute. I was like, you're going to be a little bit horrified because I am really not the sweet, innocent little Susie with the little bowl haircut that I used to be. I was like, so please, please, please don't be horrified.
Oh, man.
So if she's out there listening right now, hi, Sally.
Yeah, her hair is going to stand.
Her hair is going to be standing.
Yeah, after she heard what you have to say.
Yes.
Wow.
but yeah, so anyway, she wants me to start putting together a new resume and, you know, scoping out new agents and things here in LA.
Right. And a portfolio too, right? Or like all kinds of headshots and shit?
You would just need yeah. A good headshot. Well, two good headshots, one for legit work and one for commercials.
Mm.
But yeah, good thing my boyfriend's a photographer.
Yeah, I suppose. What do you mean legit work?
Legit would be more just acting, like movies and television shows and sitcoms and series.
I see, like more entertainment, whereas
yes,
commercials
yes, yes.
is commercial.
Commercials is just advertising.
Yeah.
So.
I see.
I know, but I could not believe she called me. It was so crazy last night talking to
Amazing.
Her. It really just made me so happy.
Awesome. So you're going to do something with it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to. I really think...
I mean, it's being thrown in your lap. Why not?
I know, right?
You know? Yeah.
And it's just something that I was kind of... It was bred into me at such an early age. And then I was talking to Sally because when she first discovered me, she's like, Susie, you just walked into that room and she said, you know, I didn't have to train you at all. She said, you were just right on
wow.
with everything. You
nice.
Know, I walked in at 4 and I was like, my name is Susie Raleigh and I'm going to be on TV. Thank you. And all the other kids were like, Mommy, and crying with their thumbs in their mouths.
Is that what your mom told you to say? Were you...
My mom like
did she
had
prepare you and
she
stuff?
Didn't prepare me at all like at first mm. because you know I saw a line of like 200 kids waiting. This was actually at my mom's sports gym where my mom taught aerobics classes.
Right.
And so there was a line of like 200 kids out the door with their parents, and we were on our way out. And so I said, "Excuse me, little girl, like what are you in line for?" And then the girl said, "You know, there's a manager here, and she's interviewing kids to be on TV."
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, "Mommy, I want to be on TV."
Ah.
My mom's like, "Oh, fine, we'll wait in the goddamn line because I know Susie won't shut up." And so, out of all the kids in the line, she picked me.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And then I went and got my first commercial right after that. So
when I see that many people, I just automatically go, "Oh, I'm not gonna get it," you know. it's just too much competition. But you persisted, you know?
I persisted.
Maybe because you were too young. No, but you're optimistic.
I'm the same way anyway.
Yeah.
You know, when I knew before I even came into this radio show that I was going to get the job.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I totally did.
I know. Sometimes I think back to when the first time you walked in, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, shit, I didn't know what I was what I was in for, pretty much. You know?
Yeah, what did you think of me at first?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I had been interviewing women, you know, like one day at a time, and so I just thought you'd just be another girl, you know,
just but another notch in your belt.
Yes, exactly, and. Yeah, but then I thought, God, we had like such, you know, I mean, you know, so many people tell me you guys have great chemistry, mm-hmm. you know, and it's good, you know, because I mean, you know, it just sometimes just happens, you know, you can't make it happen.
Definitely
not.
It
just happens, you know. Wow. So, how was Lisa? Was she happy with the party and everything?
She really was. She looked absolutely radiant. You know, really? she just had such a blast at her party, and she didn't want to get really fucked up, so she just had like two beers and a little bit of sangria. That was the kicker. All the sangria that I was chugging down.
Oh, you were drinking that too.
Oh man, I was practically snorting it. Oh God!
How can you fucking drink so much? My God!
It just tastes so good.
Yeah, I mean, do you ever get to a point where you say, "Okay, it's enough. I don't need any more"?
That's usually when I pass out.
Oh, I see. What about blackouts? Have you had blackouts where you don't know what happened to you?
All the time.
Really?
All the time.
Wow.
Don't give me that look.
Why?
Because that was like the father in you. You're just like, Susie.
No, but
seriously,
it's,
Susie, bad
no,
girl,
no, it's,
bad girl.
It's scary.
I know it's scary.
It's fucking scary. That's
but
what I'm looking
but
at.
But I kind
you,
of like the mystery of it because, like, then you're like, oh my God, I've got to go back and, you know, backtrace like everything that happened to me and figure out exactly like what happened when. And then the best is if you find your camera,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like super excited and you're like, oh my God, really? Okay, I guess yeah. I had my boob out in that picture.
Yeah.
Or I guess I was flashing everyone at the bar with my skirt pulled up above my head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but things happen to you. You woke up with two naked people in the bed and you didn't know how
you
got there.
I woke up with the chick going down. Me.
Yeah, and you didn't know how the fuck you got there.
Well, apparently I walked. Apparently I walked and I disrobed and I got in the bed.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Do you still see these people sometimes?
Actually, I was invited to Dan's birthday party on Saturday, but it was, you know, Lisa's party, so. Mm. There were so many parties this weekend. Oh,
really?
Man, yeah. It was like...
So you only went to the one, though?
I only went to the one at my house, yes.
Right.
You know, I decided I've got to stop overextending myself. I mean, I will... Yeah. Like, I told everyone... Like, I probably was invited to 10 other birthday parties this weekend, and I told everyone, I was like, you know, I'm having a party at my house with my roommate, so I'll try my hardest, you know, if I can get away to, like, make an appearance.
Right.
And normally, like, the typical Susie, like, would actually leave and try and go to every single party and, like, stay there for, like, half an hour. Uh-huh. Half an hour here, half an hour here, half an hour here. But, I mean, it's really not enjoyable for me. And then, like, my friends get pissed off and they want me to stay. Right. You know, I'm only one person.
Yeah. Are you really?
I'm sorry I'm so much fun. And
I
everyone
know,
wants
yeah.
a little piece of
Everybody
me.
Wants Susie.
Oh, man.
Well, it must feel good to be that popular, huh?
I'm telling you, honestly, it's exhausting sometimes.
Were you popular in school?
Yeah, I was popular in school.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, this is really sad. I feel badly about this. One of the kids that I used to work with back in Massachusetts, when I worked at EMARC, East Middlesex Association for Retarded Citizens,
mm-hmm.
One of the kids who's there, he's just got a slight disability. I mean, he's not really AFU. For our listeners out there who don't know what that means all fucked up.
All fucked up. Okay, makes sense.
But so, anyway, he sent me a message on Facebook the other day saying, you know, he's going to take me off his friend list. And I was like, Tom, I was like, why do you want to take me off your friend list? And he said, because you're becoming way too popular. You don't have any time to hang out with me anymore. And you never respond to my messages. I was like, oh, honey. Actually, I haven't responded yet. I've been too busy.
I know, people make such a big deal out of this fucking Facebook. I mean, it's just nice to chat and stuff, but you can't build fucking relationships from it.
I know, you know? It actually kind of pisses me off because, you know, people can see if you're online, and I always leave my Facebook, like, on my computer at all times.
Right.
And so it always looks like I'm online, so I come home, and I've got hundreds of messages from people what? On their freaking computer, and they're all like, why aren't you answering me? Why are you ignoring me? You think I'm fat? What? And, you know, just going off like that. But I was like, you know, I've got to tell the kid, like, don't take it personally. Like, seriously, I know I'm busy, but there's no reason to, like, you know, not be friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And he said he's
don't
just
go
like,
off and commit suicide.
I know, but he was just like, you're becoming famous with your radio show, and, you know, I'm just a little person, and you won't want to be my friend. But isn't that sad?
Yeah.
So, Tom, I still want to be your friend.
Yeah, please reassure him.
Yes, I did. I did.
Wow.
So, I want to know, are we having the astrologer on anymore? Because we haven't had her
no,
in a
while.
No,
she stopped calling. I don't know what the deal is.
Really?
Yeah, she stopped calling. But you're right. I mean, I can contact her and have her start calling again.
I think we
did
should.
Did you like it?
I really did.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I didn't realize it?
No, I didn't realize that you liked it. I mean, to me, it's just I forgot about it.
My chart was better than your chart.
Was it really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. Yours seemed kind of boring.
What, is that kind of a pissing contest here?
Yes. Oh, I would win a pissing contest.
I'm kind of fucking boring. Well, fuck you.
No, okay. I said your chart was boring.
Oh, my chart was boring.
Your chart was boring, not you.
No, but why was my chart boring?
Because I don't remember it.
Well, I don't remember yours. Okay? I don't remember mine or yours.
That's because you can't remember shit. Oh, boy.
That's true. You want to take another quick break?
Yeah, actually, I have to pee.
Yeah, me too. So
you just peed the last time.
Like people really care. Yeah, I've been drinking a lot of coffee this morning and water. But yeah, we'll be back. Okay, you know what? All right, we'll be back right after
this. What the fuck was that?
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station.
A lot of response on the photos I posted of Daisy Marie.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you put that picture up of me licking her boob.
I know, I should probably take him down, huh?
No,
you think
no.
It's too much?
It's fabulous. Yeah. I love it. I can't believe the author we just had on saw the pictures too.
I know.
And she said if she comes to the studio, I could lick her boob. They were great breasts, though. I have to give her that.
Yeah.
They look so great and perky, like sitting under her little shirt.
I know. But you know what? Looking at the penthouse pictures and stuff, there's some angles where they really look fake, you know?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But, I mean, through her shirt, they look perfect.
Through her shirt, they look unbelievable.
Like just natural prickly.
Prickly?
Yeah. Not prickly, but pricky?
Perky.
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 Okay, perky?
Yes, perky.
Okay. I knew they had P's and R's and K's in it.
She was just so cute. I really, really liked her. I mean, like, she just had this classy, like, I know it's weird to be like, oh, this, you know, this porn star is kind of classy, but she really was just kind of, like, classy and cute.
She's really fun, yeah.
I know, I know.
Yeah.
We should have her in here all the time. Every day.
Yeah, well, my son was blown away that we had her because apparently she was, remember she told us she was on Howard Stern
yep.
with other penthouse pets and they had a little contest. So apparently when my son was over, he was watching that particular episode, so he knew her
already.
And he said he was looking at her pictures and shit like that, and I guess kind of liked her. And then he found out she was on the show. He's like, "Wow!"
He probably freaked out and was like, "Dad, why didn't you let me in the studio?"
I know. So I want to bring him in, but you know, I mean, I'm thinking about it. I think there's probably something illegal about it, right? Although, I mean, you can imagine how much damage it would do to a 15-year-old if he saw breasts, right? But this is our society for it. We got to be politically correct.
I don't think there's anything illegal about it.
No, you don't think so?
So long as there is parental consent.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Absolutely.
Mm.
You could do anything you want with kids as long as like there's parental consent, I think.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, like you could take your son to a rated R movie.
Yeah.
So?
But it's not rated X.
You could take him, I think, to a rated X movie so long as there's parental supervision as well.
I don't think so, Susie.
Why not?
I don't know. I bet you they'd look at it as like, I don't know, something mistreated
of
a minor or something, endangerment of a minor.
Probably. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of danger in seeing breasts, you know.
Mama.
I know that part was so funny when you did this. She just like rolled on the floor when you did that to her.
I know. God. Well, sometimes you just see big boobs and she totally just pulled her shirt down and had them just hanging
out.
So they were pointing at me.
I was shocked.
I know. I couldn't believe it. She's just so free with her body.
Yeah, I know. I know. Sometimes I wish I was like that too, you know?
Well, it sounds like when you were younger prancing around
the
naked beaches of Israel.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, man. I'm glad Mo called in today.
Yeah.
Because we haven't heard from him in a while.
I know, we haven't heard from him in quite a while. But I want him to talk more about sex, you know?
I can't really imagine. It's actually funny because he totally calls in and has like non sequiturs, and we're like, what? What? Chemtrails. Okay.
You know, chemtrails, Iran, jihad.
Jihad.
Bombs.
La, 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 la.
I know. He's got all these conspiracies in his head, and I wonder what it's like to live like that. You know?
To think the world's going to crumble down around you?
I think it's like a paranoid, you know?
Well, you know what? I will say, I have this one guy, this one friend, JD, that I met a while ago, and, you know, when I met him, he wasn't into the conspiracy theories, but, like, as our friendship grew, he really, really, really started getting into them.
Really?
And he started researching them and, like, freaking out, and so then he's, like, sending me all of this, you know, propaganda about the cloud seeding and this and that, and next thing you know, I look outside the next day, and I'm like, oh, my God. It's really happening.
Yeah.
But so then, you know, this was probably like 8 months ago or something, and he actually was telling me that the money crisis was going to happen. He predicted it.
Oh, really?
And he said, you know, take all of your money out of the stock market right now. He said, you know, go and buy gold. Mm. So he did exactly that. He took all of his money out of everything and went and bought like solid gold.
Wow. And he made a killing out of that because gold has gone up quite a bit.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Wow.
So you know what? There might be something to all these little conspiracy theories.
You think so, huh?
You never know.
Yeah.
Well, luckily I didn't have any money in the stock market to begin with. Well, you know, anymore.
Yeah.
Since I squandered all of my money. But.
I know. I can't believe this. And now Citicorp is laying off, what, 60,000 people? I mean, that's a lot of people. No.
It's like Citibank?
Yeah, Citibank. Citicorp,
oh, no.
Yeah. I know, man.
So I've been so bad. I haven't been paying attention to the economy as usual.
Yeah.
So can you tell me what's been going on with that?
The same old shit. It's just getting worse.
It's getting worse still?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what happened with the bailout?
The stock market keeps falling. And, you know, I don't. That's probably not going to work for a while if it does at all. I don't know. you know.
Like, where did that money go?
It's going to these mortgage companies, I believe, that that are struggling, you know. And like Fannie Mae and them, it's government funded or supported or something. But you know, it allows a lot of people to get mortgages for their, you know, if they're not like really rich and shit. So so this is definitely creating a big
hit
on
the
economy. Rent. That's true. That's a good fucking idea, right? Go
Seriously.
Rent your goddamn homes. I'm renting.
I know. I'm renting. I want to fucking buy a house.
I know. I've had it with renting, man.
I know.
We
got to
move from where we are. I've had it. After fucking 12
Let's buy
days.
A house.
12 days without hot water. And
well, at least you saved money. You've saved a month on rent.
Well, that was my intention, Susie, but it didn't quite turn out that way.
Why?
Because now they sent us a letter saying pay up or quit, you know. And I told my wife, I said, you see, the thing is, I know we're going to win if we go to court and shit. Mm-hmm. But my wife just says, you know, let's not deal with this shit. You know, let's not go to court and all that stuff, because, you know, they're going to lose. And besides, I welcome them to get a fucking attorney, because I want to fight something like this. I mean, to live in subhuman conditions for 12 days without hot water. And and then so they give us a couple hundred dollars off the rent.
Well, that was nice, at least.
Fuck, that was nice, man. I mean, they did this not because they're nice. They're not very nice people. They're doing
Are
this
they Jews?
Because...
I'm just
well,
kidding.
Maybe maybe Jews are cheap, but they're nice.
Okay? I'm just kidding.
They're
carry
nice
on,
people.
Carry on.
No, that's okay. I mean, we definitely pick on the Jews today. Now, just remember, you can be grateful to me for that, because if I weren't here... Or if I weren't Jewish, you couldn't say any of these things.
I know, right? Right? Can you imagine?
Isn't that funny, though?
I would have nothing to say.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like black people can call themselves the N-word, but not somebody else calling them that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's the same thing.
Actually, I said that word on TJ's show the other day.
Did you really?
Yes, I called in and talked to him probably for like an hour.
I know. In fact, you know what was funny on Friday? I didn't really listen to the show, and then I just tuned in and I heard him talking about you, you know, like saying, oh, Susie's this, Susie's that. And I thought, oh, she must have just called in, because
yeah.
Why would he talk about Susie all of a sudden? So then I went back to the replay, and you guys were on for about 40 minutes.
I know.
That's a long time. You were not in a hurry at all. You were taking your time.
Well, I felt bad. I was listening to a show, and he was just like, la, 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 la. He was like going through his phone. He's like, who could I call and annoy right now? And so he's just calling random people, being like, hi. Like, oh, you're doing laundry. Oh, great. Cool. And so I was like, all right, TJ. And then I heard him start snorting. He was laughing about something. He was snorting. And so I Facebook messaged him, and I was like, ha, ha, you snorted.
Just, I think everybody snores every once in a while.
That snores. Snorts.
Oh, snorts. You meant snort.
Yes.
What did I say? Snores?
You said
okay,
snores.
I'm sorry. You see, today I'm totally fucked up. I can't find the words even.
It's all right. It's
what
Monday.
Are you gonna do?
It's Monday.
What are you going to do?
I think we should take Mondays off.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Like a top paid executive now? Like,
yes,
like we're a big deal on radio. We're only doing the show four times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to make people want us and be in higher demand.
Yes, I suppose. Well, they miss us over the weekend already.
I know.
Yeah. We're committed to our listeners.
But after my weekend, I'm usually just like, oh, man. I actually had the most wonderful day yesterday. I woke up late, and then Lisa's sister came over, who's absolutely gorgeous. Her name's Selena. She's so super cute.
Really?
Yes. She actually kind of reminds me of Kate Hudson in Almost Famous.
Really?
You know, she's got like the bohemian chic thing going on, and she's my age. So we really hit it off.
Good.
And then
she needs to come in, of course.
I know. And then Lisa's best friend, this girl Liz, came over as well. And I cooked everyone breakfast because it was her birthday, her actual birthday yesterday.
Uh-huh.
But so we just ended up having the most wonderful day. We went all the way up in the third tier. We ended up like smoking some pot, having some breakfast, and then just literally having girl talk all day.
That's awesome.
It really, really, really was.
Really? So you were just the girls?
It was just the girls yesterday, and it was just the best time in the world.
That's cool.
I should have been studying all day, but I wasn't. I was having a stoned girl talk.
Yeah. Are you going to get study today?
Yes, I'm going to study as much as I can today.
Cool.
Before my stupid test.
Okay. So does Lisa want people to know how old she is?
She's 39.
Okay.
39.
Wow.
Getting up there.
Pushing that big 40.
I know.
I'm telling you. Well, here's something for Lisa. I hope you're listening.
They say it's your birthday. Happy birthday to you. One and a two and a three and a four.
Anyway. So that's our happy birthday song.
That was very nice, Sam.
Yeah.
I feel kind of badly because at her party, her brother, she has a brother too that showed up. I didn't even know she had all these siblings. They just keep appearing out of the woodwork. I'm like,
really?
What the fuck? But so her brother shows up and he's a violinist. Uh-huh. And so he brought his violin and everyone's wasted and fucked up and on ecstasy and mushrooms at our house. I'm telling you, it was like this massive, like just drug fest, crazy party.
I'm telling you, that's what parties are about now. I mean, you just get together and you fucking get fucked up. I mean, it used to be dancing and
there was a lot of dancing.
Was it dancing?
And there was a lot of talking, but just fucked up dancing and talking. But so her brother breaks out his violin, and he starts playing like Happy Birthday on his violin. And I was a little bit wasted at this point, too, so I started yelling some really inappropriate things, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Like, take it off! Woo! Then I think I was like flashing my boobs at the poor little violinist brother, and he didn't know what to think of me. He was like, holy shit, your roommate's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's all right, whatever.
Yeah.
So nothing's going on in the in the news.
No, but you're like so free to show off your breasts and stuff, huh?
Yes.
It's amazing.
When they're fabulous, what can you do?
That's true. But do you think if they were like a lot bigger, you wouldn't?
It depends on the shape and the size, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Because I don't know. I mean, you know, like a girl your size with your size boobs, it's like you can do just about anything. You can wear anything, you know, and you can do all kinds of activities. But I'd imagine...
Activities. You could do all kinds of activities with breasts like yours.
Can you imagine if you have like a double D cup, how do you fucking jog, you know? I mean, that's got to be pretty hard.
Well, it's a good thing. I don't jog anyway, so... Oh, man. No, I would not enjoy having breasts that large.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Oh, God.
I know. That's a big boobs, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I know. Some women actually get them reduced, huh?
Actually, one of my best friends had a breast reduction, but hers were just floppy.
Really?
Yeah.
You see, sometimes I think when they're too big, they actually cause you, like, physical problems, like with your
back
and shit.
Totally.
You know? Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how Pamela Anderson could even stand up.
Yeah.
Like, those fucking things are huge.
Yeah, but it's not like those big boobs, you know? I mean, hers are like, you know, they're fake, first of all. And
so
I don't think they're heavy.
You think if they're fake, they're lighter?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I don't know why. It just, they don't seem, well, maybe because they sag less or something. I don't know. So they seem...
They seem more uppity.
Yeah. They seem less heavy.
Yes. Oh, God.
I don't know. So, in the news, you asked me about in the news. Well, there was pirates hijacked Saudi-owned oil tanker.
Really?
Yeah, and you believe there's still pirates these days.
That's so cool.
I know. But today, they're not with swords anymore. They have machine guns and shit.
Oh, my God.
Those modern pirates, yeah.
Wow.
So they took over a whole fucking tanker. Now, what the hell are they going to do with that? I have no idea.
Where are they going to hide that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Take all the crude oil.
Seriously? Does that mean our oil prices are going to be raised again?
Yeah. Do you believe how low they've gotten?
No.
The gas prices?
It's amazing.
It really is
amazing.
Cool, huh? It said like they've been going down for like 60 days in a row or something.
I swear, you know, even with gas being like at $2.50 a gallon like it is right now, you know, that's still pretty expensive compared to the way it used to be. So I think the only reason they raise it up so high in the first place is and then when it goes down to being like this, then we're like, oh, it's
so
low
like grateful,
and it's so cheap.
But let me tell you, Susie, we have probably the cheapest gas in the world. We really do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess I was listening somewhere in Europe. It's like $11 a gallon.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they measure it by a liter.
Mm.
And, you know, so a liter is like 1/4 of a gallon. So you can imagine, you know, if they pay like even a dollar per gallon or per liter, it would be $4 a gallon. So, yeah, I mean, you know,
but
everywhere
in Europe, they're so much smarter anyway. You know, they ride bicycles, they have Vespas, they've got
smaller
more
cars,
fuel efficient vehicles.
Right. That's true.
In America, we're fucking gas guzzling.
Yeah. Well, because we got so much space here, you know, I mean, that's what America is about. Large spaces, open spaces, you know. And we
can
accommodate.
I don't feel like we have very many open spaces around here.
Well, you go to Europe and you see how crowded it is there. I mean, everything's like bunched together, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because it was mostly built, you know, centuries ago, you know, all the stuff in Europe. So they didn't build it like really big like we do now, you know?
Yeah.
But you know what's amazing about the progress? I was watching this weekend. Again, you know, I don't watch TV, but I sometimes sit next to my wife.
You always say you don't watch TV, and then you always come in and you're like, so I was watching TV.
Well, I wasn't.
Quality time sitting next to my wife.
I always tell you about things that I catch for 2 minutes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they showed this like really, like almost a passenger plane that was used to douse the fires. And, you know, I mean, usually you see, like, they have special planes and shit like that. But this was like a Boeing 7-something, you know, a huge fucking plane. And I'm like, why are they tracking this plane? Because they had helicopters, like, flying next to it and showing it flying by the fire. And then I realized it's actually a plane that, you know, that's got the fire retardant and all that.
Oh.
And but I was looking at it and I thought, you know, fuck, you know, how... You know, the technology and shit, the things that people can do when they work together, you know, and to put out fires like this, you know, and all that. I mean, it requires so much coordination and technology and shit, you know, and planning. So I was just impressed by this, you know. I mean, it's these things like when I watch the Olympics, you know, and again, you see so many people from around the world just...
Everyone comes together.
Exactly, and doing such great things together, you know, because nobody can do shit by themselves, you know, it just doesn't happen. And the same goes for countries, too, you know. I mean, look at, like, fucking Cuba, you know, totally isolated from the world, and, you know, I mean, where are they, you know? They're, like, in the fucking Stone Age, you know. So,
actually, the girl Liz was from Cuba that I was hanging out with yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So she must be pretty hot, huh?
Actually, she's super gorgeous.
Really?
She
like,
really is.
They have some exotic-looking girls there.
I know. She totally was, like, stunning. And then all of a sudden, she picked up the phone. She starts speaking in Spanish, and she's like... and I was like, whoa. I was like, where the fuck are you from? She's like, Cuba. And I was like, oh, Cuba.
Cuba.
Yeah.
So how did she get out, I wonder?
I don't know.
Yeah, because these people have to escape, right?
I know.
They don't let them out.
I know. It's pretty
yeah.
creepy.
Yeah. How would you like to live in a fucking socialist communist country?
I think Cuba like, would be gorgeous to go on vacation.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. It is a nice place there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nature and shit.
Probably get a cheap plane ticket. Yeah. Are we even allowed to go to Cuba?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I can go through Mexico.
You could. I suppose, yeah. I mean, people go there, but there's no formal relations. I don't know. Do you think we can fly to Cuba? I mean, I'm saying no, but I'm not sure. You know?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is I like their cigars.
I know, and those are illegal here.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never smoked a Cuban cigar. I mean,
really?
What's special about them?
I don't know.
You just had it because it's a Cuban cigar.
I just had it because at the time I was having nothing but the best in my life.
I
and
see.
So I had to carry on with my being spoiled.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to see a woman smoking a cigar, though.
Why?
Because, I mean,
I told
it
you
looks
I answered
like
that
a cock.
I know. I told you I answered that personal ad the other day, being like, non-smoker seeks female who smokes cigars.
Yeah.
I was like, I smoke cigars.
And, you know, the big ones look like a piece of turd or something.
Aw, well, if you put it that way. Ew.
Yeah, I do put it that way.
Thank you, Sam. Very, very nice of you.
But what I don't get is why is it okay to smoke cigars but not cigarettes? It's like cigar smoking is more acceptable than cigarettes.
Yeah,
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. And
it smells worse.
I inhale cigars,
you
too.
You inhale cigars?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know how to not inhale them.
Oh.
My lungs feel like shit after I smoke one, though.
I'm sure. Fuck. They're not meant to inhale.
What's the point of just putting it in your mouth and swishing it around, though?
Well, I don't know.
I want to swallow it.
Yeah. I guess just putting something in your mouth, like a pacifier or something, you know? I think in a way, you know, smoking cigarettes is like a pacifier, you know? It's like
people
something to do
fixations.
With your hands. Yeah. Something to do with your hands, yeah. I definitely have an oral fixation, you know?
Me too.
Yeah, let me eat pussy all day long.
Oh, God. Yeah. Here we go again.
That's my oral fixation, yeah.
Actually, I think I'd like to have that done this afternoon.
You would, huh?
Yes, yes.
Okay, cool.
I think I'll make an appointment.
Make an appointment. Get your pussy eaten.
While I'm studying my flashcards, that'll be brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Your legs up in the air, and you're studying your flashcards.
And if I get the flashcard right, you know, he can continue on. If I don't, he'll stop.
Yeah, there
we
you go.
We can turn it into like a whole little sex game.
Or get on your hands and knees and get it from behind and have the flashcards right in front of you, and he can question you on them while you're fucking, you know?
That could work, too.
Yeah, give him the cards, and he's going to ask you. And you'll answer the questions.
He didn't want to come in and talk on the radio today.
Yeah.
He was like, no, no.
No, not today.
Which you're probably thankful for anyway, because you don't like the smell of his jacket.
Well, it does smell bad, I have to tell you, Franz.
I tried to tell him it did, but he didn't believe me.
The whole
me.
Fucking room stinks there. You know?
Well,
he's got this jacket with the bottle caps on it, and I'm sure just because it's so elaborate, he can't really wash it, or everything's going to fall
off.
That
jacket has never, ever, ever been washed.
Yeah.
Well, ever.
It smells like it, Susie.
I know.
You know, and it looks like an old jacket, too. It seems like it's been around for a while.
It's Calvin Klein.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Excuse me, yes. Oh, God.
Yeah, so Well, you don't look any different for having sex over the weekend, so I'm thinking it's probably because you masturbate all the time. So, I mean, it's not like you build up all that tension.
Yeah, no, I definitely have a good release system going on.
You do have a good release system.
Yes, yeah. Very healthy.
I'm the same way, too.
Very
you know,
healthy
I can't,
sex drive.
Can't let the pressure build up too much.
Nope. Or else I just become a miserable bitch.
Yeah. But, it's not common, though, for my penis to suddenly like start tickling, like I feel I have to fucking fuck, you know. it hasn't happened that many times, but yesterday definitely did, and I wasn't paying attention to the clock or anything.
Oh, Sam,
I could have missed the beginning of a whole fucking show, you know.
Well, that person would have been pissed.
I know, they've been on the fucking air, there's no show.
Was it a good show?
I don't know, I don't remember whose show it was.
I'm sure they were very appreciative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure, too. Oh. And thank goodness for my wife for being on top of things, even when she's on the
top
bottom.
I was going to say, even when she's on top of you.
Yeah.
So I met this crazy girl at Lisa's party named Wendy. She is a firecracker. Oh, my God. I have to get her in the studio, too. She's kind of like me, and she's a gypsy in spirit. And, you know, she kind of just wanders around and goes traveling. Nice. She's going to be in Australia when I'm going to be in Australia in January.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
So she's like, I've got these friends. They've got a yacht. You know, they've got this and that. She's like, I don't have anywhere to stay. I'm just going. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, I'm doing the exact same thing.
Really?
So we're going to meet up in Australia and just kind of tear up the town.
Wow.
All those Aussie boys.
You're still on with that trip, right?
Yes.
You're still going.
To your dismay, I'm sure.
No, I mean, there's nothing. I'm happy for you, you know. Yeah, you're not going to be here. We're not going to have any shows, but, you know. When are you leaving?
I think December 28th.
Oh, okay. So it's the holidays and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you come back, there's scheduled to be another channel here on the station. So.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, January 5th, I'm thinking of launching it. I hope we can. I mean, I don't know. I'm fucking going crazy. But regardless. So, okay, well, you're going to be in Australia.
I can't believe that girl's going with me, though. It's going to be amazing.
So she's going with you?
Well, not with me, but she's going.
Oh, she's going to be there
separately on her own. She's going to be there at the same time.
And you guys going to hook up and shit?
Oh, yes.
Really?
This girl is like, seriously, if you put the two of us in a room together, Sam, there is going to be some serious trouble.
Really?
Because she is just a crazy, crazy, crazy party chick like me.
Wow.
And I can't wait. I just feel a little bit safer, too, now, knowing that I'm going to have, like, another, like, female energy
with
me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, fuck, Susie. I mean, traveling by yourself, I have, but you know.
You're
a boy. I guess it's okay, yeah. No, I don't know. Plus, you're going without money, you know? I mean, that's fucking, like...
Well, I don't know if I'm going without money. I mean, I don't have any money right now, but hopefully for Christmas I'll get some big bucks.
Oh. So. I'm sure you have a generous family and everything, so...
Yes, yes. Wonderful. I'm telling them, only cash.
Only cash.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
No checks, no credit cards.
Well,
cash
no,
only.
I'll take credit
cards,
too. You
take credit cards, too?
Yes, yes. In a heartbeat.
Awesome. Well, okay, we're going to wrap up, and we're all talked out for this morning, right?
I think we've been talked out for a while.
Yeah. And I just wanted to remind everyone, coming up next is Answers for the Family, and it's Alan Cardoza's show, but it will be a replay of his interview with Dr. Michelle on Friday. They had an incredible show, so you want to listen to that at 11. TJ McCormick is out of town.
Aww.
He's in New York for the whole week, so we're going to have replays of his show. And then, of course, catch Johnny Dam. We've got a lot of new shows, so don't miss them. You know, go around the site, check them all out. And Susie and I will be back right here tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.